Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
How about the Mets last night, BT? Nice win. David Peterson again. A strong effort. Did you see what happened? It got away from him a little bit there in the seventh
inning.
Yeah, the balk. And then the next pitch, home run. But the Mets still were able to prevail, and Alvarez hit that bomb of a home run. And to me, that's the biggest thing. You know, if the Mets hit the way that they were hitting when they were one of the best offensive teams in baseball for an extended period starting June 7th on, right up until the All-Star break, if Alvarez can get going here and be that impact bat, along with the way Lindor has been playing and Vientos and possibly Pete, like, they do have the pieces. We could pick holes in the Mets, just like we could pick holes with any team in baseball and current day Major League Baseball. There are no great teams. But if they can hit at a high level, they can overcome the lack of dominance atop their rotation or the lack of quality or depth in that bullpen. Plus, they're getting healthier. Daniel Nunez should be on his way back in the bullpen. Budo has been good. Diaz, Budo, Daniel Nunez should be a legit solid three. You throw a Maton maybe as a fourth. Like, it's not that bad. I know our general consensus has felt like, yeah, the Mets don't have enough to be one of the playoff teams. But if the bats can get going, and Alvarez is a big if, but he could be that game-changer type bat in that lineup, then maybe all of a sudden they can overtake the Atlanta Braves.
Well, just two things very briefly. You mentioned Peterson. Peterson's been really good. Yeah. I mean, we can't just, oh, yeah, Peterson got the win. Peterson's been really good.
And for years it was Peterson, McGill, Peterson,
McGill. Yeah, for sure. We'd almost laugh at them. Peterson's been really good.
Peterson is stuck. He's proven himself. Now, not really going deep into games, but and that's by design, and that's fine, but still he has been terrific for them.
Really good. The other thing with the balk there, you know, as much baseball as I watch, there is nothing that confuses me quite like the balk. And there are some that are obvious, but then even last night, the shoulders, they go a tick this way. Like, for me, it's still almost indecipherable. Like, was it? Did he? I don't even know if Ron Keith really knew.
I don't think you're alone, and I'm watching the game in the SNY newsroom with Todd Zeal and others, but, you know, Zeal's a former major leaguer, and he's saying it's BS.
He didn't think it was a balk?
No, he's like, guys do this all the time, and he's right. Like, I don't. And that he would obviously know more than anybody, but I don't know what a balk is. A guy flinches, a guy moves his knee. Now, Peterson did take accountability afterward, saying that he messed up and was trying to maybe catch up to the pitch clock, whatever it may be.
And he didn't protest, which gives you a sense that.
But I'm watching it real time, and Todd's like, oh, come on. Like, this
Me too. Yeah. It's almost like, and you see this so rare, but it's almost like the 10-second violation in hoops in the NBA. Like, if you take more than 10 seconds, which, I mean, it might get called 5 or 6 times a year. But it just, I mean, there's other guys who are at the line, you know, not a lot of them, but they're there more than 10 seconds before they shoot. I think there's a lot more guys who balk, but they just, I don't know, call it tonight, call it here, won't call it anyway. So, I just wanted to get that out. The balk still baffles me.
Do you know the numbers? Because I'd quiz you real quick on Peterson. You know his numbers for the season? Do you look at it?
It's 3 change. His ERA's 3 change.
His ERA's 3.
Yeah, like 3.00, literally 3.00.
Do you believe that?
Well, that's why I'm saying really
good. Yes, I know, but even that, I know he's been good, but I would have never guessed that his ERA was that low.
Yeah, I thought it was more like 3.23. I didn't know it was quite 3.00. He's been an absolute stud. So, last night, and I'm a little disappointed in you.
Why?
I think you're underselling this one here.
The win?
Yeah.
Nah,
Let me tell you why. Okay, all right? Now, if Pete hit the home run, it would have been amazing. If Lindor hit the home run, been amazing. If Martinez, like he's had a couple of moments earlier in the year, Grand Slam, whatever, would have been amazing. The fact that Alvarez is the one who hit the home run, to me, if you said to me before the game, all right, the Mets are going to win a walk-off home, they're going to win a walk-off tonight by way of a home run, what would be like the most meaningful, which person do you want to do it?
I'd probably say Pete.
I would say Alvarez. You know why? Because Alvarez, to me, even though Pete could certainly get better because he's had a down year by his standards, Alvarez, to me, represents more than anybody on the roster the guy that still has real room to grow the last 35 games and just take this team to a spot that they haven't been.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was saying. If he could get going, he's got that potential to be an impact bat. And you're right, we do get on Pete because Pete has not lived up to his standards that he set. He's been okay this year, but they need more from him. If Alvarez can now contribute and be another impact bat in that lineup, you know, again, now, how many ifs are we going to go? Well, if Brandon Nimmo and Nimmo's healthy, good, you know, that's
looks like
good
he's
news.
Okay.
So he'll probably be back in, I would assume, tonight. Don't know, but we'll see. But Nimmo looks like he's okay. So Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo, Alvarez could be that type bat. You know, J.D. Martinez also. I was looking at Martinez last night.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
I can't believe he only had 12 homers before he went. I'm looking at that.
He's been quiet.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I'm like, damn, he's only got 12 homers. Yeah. And then, of course, he laces one to right center field, which is good. But 13 home runs for J.D. Martinez. I know he missed the first month or whatever.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, he's got to have more. He's had his impact more, I think, in the clubhouse than in actuality on the field.
He got him going during that first, when they started that surge.
That's when he was hot.
Correct.
And then he's just been...
No, he's been very, very average. Actually, by his standards, he's been below average. Now, let me just tell you...
Is he going to even hit 20 home runs this year?
I'd be surprised if he gets there. I'd say high teens. I think he just misses.
And now if he does, that's going to... Point is, the Mets in the line, they don't have it in the rotation. Their rotation can be okay at best. Their bullpen, again, can be okay at best. Their lineup can be very, very good at best. They have the guys there. They just need them to do their jobs.
Well, think about this, Sal. And I understand why, because he's not making big money, and he was hurt this year, and he's a second-year kid, and he's 22 years old. But, I mean, Alvarez, and again, understanding why... I haven't really levied a ton of criticism. He has kind of floated beneath the radar of criticism.
Right. Why?
I think because the Pete contract thing has been huge. Lindor's bad start, then Lindor's surge. There's just the other stories, and he was hurt. So I think that
I think that's the issue.
Well, that's
he was hurt.
Yeah, I think most sensible, even though we get a little nutty in this city from town to time to time, most sensible baseball fans, Yanks and Mets, understand, especially for a young kid, find it his way. So we're going to be fair, even though we're nuts. But
and he's played 67 games.
I understand that, but think about this, Sal. So last year, he had 25 home runs in only 382 at-bats.
Right.
That's not a lot.
Right.
I mean, a lot of home runs. It's not a lot of at-bats. Last night was number 6 in 217 at-bats. Now, let's just get... All right, so just do this easy.
Yeah, but even if he goes on fire, he's not going to catch that pace.
I don't care about that. I'm gonna finish that point in a moment, but I suppose some easy math, so I'm going to round off here. Instead of 217 at-bats, make it 200. So let's go 2, 4, 6. Boom. 600 at-bats, and if you do the proration port on part of his home runs as well, he's 18 home runs in 600 at-bats versus 25 home runs in 382 last year. Precipitous drop in production.
Right.
Now, what does it mean for
batting
the first 4 months?
Significantly better.
Is it 250 something? I got you. What does it mean the first couple of months of the season? Nothing.
Right.
Why this should be really, that's why I said I'm disappointed in you, because you'd be a little bit more pumped about this. This guy can elevate, I'm not saying he will, but I'm not betting against him doing it, can elevate this team, I think, from an energy perspective, as you and I have discussed a lot, and a baseball production point, which has been very down for him by his small sample standard so far. If this guy gets on a heater, it could change everything.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their lineup, and on paper or whatever, but if guys do what's expected, and especially him, lengthening it. Like, I looked at Alvarez as not being an 8-hitter or a 6-hitter even. I looked at him as a meat of the order, heart of the order type impact type bat.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not been that this year. But he still has that potential, and maybe that could get him going. That's why I'm not going nuts because, all right, he has a big home run, 3-0 pitch. Like, if a guy throws you fastball, it was up and in too, tough pitch.
Yeah.
And I love the way he pimped it afterward because he's got that attitude. That to me, like the Mets need more of that.
That's what I mean. He brings that.
They need more of that, edge and attitude. So I love that. But It was a 3-0 pitch, a fastball. If you don't hit that,
you think if you pop it up, you're going to get looked at. Yeah. But do you think? Yeah, I didn't hear, and I did see some of the post game with Todd and Gary. Yeah. I did not hear Mendoza. Was he given the green light 3-0?
I'm assuming he did. I did not hear that either. I was getting ready to
go. I don't know that it's a safe assumption. Yeah. I mean, even Ron Darling said before the home run, it's 3-0 count. You need somebody on base. Yeah, I don't think I'd give him the green light.
But how many guys now? Yeah, but with him?
No, 22 years old? He's got 5 home runs.
Yeah, but still, he's the power threat, as you saw. Mm. How many guys? And I was thinking this after the 3-0, you know, home run on 3-0. How many guys back in the day, and we always talk about, well, we grew up watching the 80s, whatever. It was automatic. 3-0, you're taken.
Oh, yeah.
Think of how much damage was left on the table. With 3-0. Now, some guys didn't like swinging 3-0. Messed them up a little bit. You're not going to do it. But we've seen now in current day baseball, dating back the last several years, where it's normal to swing 3-0. And guys get a heater, and they get it generally in the strike zone, and they're going to mash it.
Yeah. The thing that's... I think that's a little tricky with giving a... I'd almost... Like, if I was a manager, I don't think I would give... Well, I mean, basically, it's the same thing. But rather than give the 3-0 swing.
I mean, it up to them.
Yeah, I would. I mean, yeah, there's certain situations we're taking no matter what. But as a hitter, like, just put yourself in a batter's box. If you know that you've got the green light to swing, you know, that juice is pulsating through your body. You generally expand the zone a little bit because you hopped up.
Right.
Because you know you could go and get one.
Right.
And you kind of leave your comfort zone. And you probably swing at a pitch that you can't really square up because you're already almost mentally predisposed to swing.
And that was not an easy pitch to hit either.
It wasn't just
on a tee fastball right down the middle of the plate.
No, that was a big moment.
Up and in, he hammered it.
It's the Orioles. It's the it's before this lengthy road trip. I should be pumped?
Yeah.
Oh, because of the Orioles.
Yes.
That's right. Pick up that
half
game, baby.
Mets helping the Yankees out.
Why do you think I'm happy? Not happy because the Mets won.
Woo! Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from Inside the Trenches and Behind the Tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.